This is GQDN for Monday, December 8th, 2025. Brought to you today by Audible. Go get your free credit. audibletrial.com/GQ25. By swiftenergy.gg. Go get those delicious, delicious drink mixes. Do it. Including the one called Quest Worthy. Put in the promo code Quest, you get 25% off of your purchase. By patreon.com/thegroupquest. That's the good stuff up there. And we're going to begin our end of year shows exclusive to Patreon. Well, that's for the live stream and by stackup.org. Just letting you guys know, because we begin today's show that would include some pro league stuff. That's right. We're going to the esports corner. Oh yeah. Kojima's talking again. And so is a Sony boss. But we begin today with something that we usually do for GQ2. Because this is a little bit of an update for the Netflix deal with Warner Brothers. Paramount, according to Engadget.com, has made a $108 billion takeover bid for Warner Brothers. Why? Because they're not happy with Netflix with their $82.7 billion deal. So they are making now a hostile takeover for the bid for the Warner Brothers. And that is to the Warner Brothers shareholders, an all-cash offer for $30 per share that expires on January 8th. Netflix offered up $27.75 per share, and that would break down to $23.25 per share in cash, and another $4.50 per share in Netflix stock. So the Netflix overall bid was valued at $82.7 billion, and Paramount's totals now $108.4 billion. Now the difference between the offer, between the Paramount and Netflix offer, is that Paramount is going all out for Warner Brothers division, where Netflix only wants the streaming and studios side of the Warner Brothers business, which would include HBO Max and Warner Brothers film, TV, and game studios. Paramount wants everything, and that would include the Warner Brothers cable channels, global networks. So here's what Paramount did say in a press release. Quote, WBD's board of directors' recommendation of the Netflix transaction over Paramount offer is based on an illusory prospective valuation of global networks that is unsupported by the business fundamentals, and encumbered by high levels of financial leverage assigned to the entity, end quote. Now, at the end of September, Warner Brothers was carrying about $34.5 billion in debt, and it planned to saddle the global networks company, otherwise known as Discovery Global, with most of the debt. Paramount offered $40.7 billion in financing from the family Paramount CEO David Ellison, and he said that, quote, $54 billion of debt commitments from the Bank of America, Citi, and Apollo, end quote, would help out with the deficit, with the debt. Now, according to an SEC filing, there were other entities that are backing the Paramount bid, including Kushner's investment and the Affinity Partners and the sovereign wealth of funds from Saudi Arabia, the public investment fund. Tencent was also a financing partner in the previous Paramount offer, but it's not involved with the hostile takeover attempt. Now, a letter was sent to the CEO for Warner Brothers, David Zaslav, before the company accepted the Netflix offer. And Paramount did question, quote, the fairness and equity, end quote, of the sale. It did ask WDB whether it was acting in the best interest of the shareholders after the management team and or alleging the Paramount appeared to favor the Netflix offer. Paramount had a further quote. Despite Paramount submitting 6 proposals over the course of 12 weeks, WDB never engaged meaningfully with these proposals, which we believe delivered the best outcome for WBD shareholders. Paramount has now taken its offer to directly WDB shareholders and its board of directors to ensure that they have the opportunity to pursue this clearly superior alternative, end quote. Now, the CEO from Netflix, Ted Sarandos, was talking about Paramount's new offer because he said it was, quote, entirely expected. We have a deal done, and we are incredibly happy with the deal. We think it's great for our shareholders, it's great for consumers, We think it's great, a great way to create project jobs in the entertainment industry. We're super confident we're going to get it across the line and finish. What's going to happen with the games if that happens? That's something to discuss for me and Goldman, I bet. But let me know your thoughts at Joe Brums on Twitter, or you could say X, and Blue Sky. Now, if something like that happens, well, would someone stay? According to PC Games N, a Tekken legend, Katsuhiro Harada, is leaving Bandai Namco after 30 years of service. And Harada has been outspoken and a passionate figurehead for Tekken 8, as he worked on a bunch of Bandai games, including Soul Calibur series, Tales of Arise, Code Vein, and other things. He confirmed that he is leaving the company at the end of this year and is giving players one final gift, a 60-minute Tekken mix on SoundCloud. Now, he has worked on every Tekken game that has ever been produced, working his way up to become the exclusive producer of the most recent entry, Tekken 8. And he was also helping out with the fighting games with the esports. But after 3 decades of working at Bandai Namco, he is now moving on. So he went to X, where he did reflect on his career and the cause of the 30th anniversary of Tekken. Quote, "The most fitting moment to bring one chapter to a close," end quote. But he's going on to extending to the huge milestone, the which Tekken now has. But what is he going to do? Further quote, "In recent times, I experienced the loss of several close friends in my personal life. And in my personal life, I witnessed the retirement of passing of many senior colleagues whom I deeply respect. Those accumulated events made me reflect on the time I have left as a creator. During that period, I sought advice from Ken Kurazugi, the former Sony Interactive CEO, whom I respect as though he was another father, and received invaluable encouragement and guidance. His words quietly supported me in making this decision," end quote. But then he went to talk to the fans. Further quote, "To our fans, rest assured that we are fully committed to the future development and the content plans for Tekken 8. We will continue to take community feedback on the game and its content to heart to ensure that we uphold the vision and spirit built by Harada-san, dedicating our utmost efforts to ensure the legacy of Tekken series continues as a fighting game franchise beloved worldwide. We expect our deepest gratitude to Harada-san for providing us with the vision and continued success over the years, the Tekken Project team," end quote. That was from the Tekken Project team. So, will he make more games? We'll see. But we did talk about one of the former Sony bosses, so why not go to Shuji Yoshida? He's one of the former PlayStation bosses, and he was saying that some of the Chinese games, well, Japanese ones, may not be able to keep up with the Chinese. Now, he said that while he was talking to 4Gamer, because, quote, "The development speed in China is amazing. They're also quick at changing personnel, and all the game development work itself unfolds rapidly," end quote. Now, he was in a conversation with Mayo, where they discussed how it will be difficult for the Chinese developers to make games the same way that Miyoho does, mainly because there are some legal problems that would come with it. Now, he was a bit vague within that issue, but it did sound like he was suggesting that there were more lax worker protections that China has helping the studios, like Miyoho, to outpace the studios in other countries with a stronger workplace protections for employees. For the quote, "I wonder if there are some aspects of the development process that Japanese game developers just can't replicate. One reason why games in China are so strong is because they are made in an environment which allows for hiring a large number of personnel who can work for long hours. Of course, you can never know what might happen in the near future, but looking at the current state of things, I think that's the biggest factor," end quote. But he wasn't the only one talking. Kojima was talking to Anaweb about the Xbox game called OD. And with an interview, he was asked about the upcoming projects, now that Death Stranding 2 is out. And he did say that with the latest trailer, might look like OD could be a traditional horror game. But it's different than that. But, quote, I can't say what it is yet, and I don't know if it'll work. We've made games that haven't been done before, like games where you can't be found or games where you can have to make deliveries. But the system is the same as other games, end quote. Now, he did say that he's trying to create a different service format for the system, and that could be challenging to make. Now, OD, maybe the next project that Kojima Productions could release as Physint, that's PHYSINT, which is being developed in the partnership with PlayStation, but that is in early development. And what we also know is that Jordan Peele is working with Kojima with the OD project, or maybe the Physint project too. Now, right now, OD is confirmed for Xbox X and S or so far, but PushSquare.com thinks that there's a good chance that OD could be on PlayStation 5 as well. We shall see. Now we go to the esports scene, and the esports tournament organizer, ESL, has announced that the finals for the ESL Pro League Season 23 will be in front of live people. Oh yes, a live audience. And that'll be March 13th to the 15th, 2026, at the Stockholm's Annexed. And fans will be able to watch the best Counter-Strike 2 teams in action. 8 teams will have to earn the place at the arena, which has a capacity of 3,950 people. And they will compete for a share of $1 million. ESL Pro League will also contribute to the ESL Grand Slam, which is an initiative providing teams for the ESL Pro Tour, which now teams can now have another chance at $1 million as well. So that's almost $2 million. Well, it is $2 million. And the quarterfinals to the semifinals will be the best of three series that determine the winners, while the grand finals will feature the best of five series to decide the ESL Pro League Season 23 champion. Mark Winter, the director of esports, Counter-Strike at ESL Facebook group, did say, quote, "We're excited to bring ESL Pro League back to this setting, as the Counter-Strike is best played in front of a live audience when the stakes are at their highest, and the trophy needs to be hoisted," end quote. That'd be good news for them. Indeed. Did I say indeed? Pure Xbox did say that Red Dead Redemption has a free upgrade. Well, some people aren't happy with it. They don't want to hang it. That's why I'm talking in my country voice. Because on the Xbox Reddit page, VT_sniper said, quote, "Anyone else still not get the free Red Dead Redemption upgrade?" And he showed a picture of the button said buy, and the button said 25 pounds. In fact, somebody else did comment, 14C, said, quote, "UK here, still no upgrade. Exotic eggplant, 1914, said, quote, "I've got 3 versions listed, but none of them are free. One is PC, one is Xbox for $25, and the other is not sold separately, and the GTA Plus version, but some of us are just unlucky, I think. I've tried everything," end quote. Now, Pure Xbox did see some mixed responses, and while they saw some positive responses, where folks were getting the free upgrade, not everyone was. Now, they are keeping an eye on things from Rockstar, with fans hoping to hear something before the half-off discount period would end, and that is to last for 2 weeks, until about December 14th. Well, that's okay, they were kind of happy too, because remember, last week we talked about Games Radar Top 25 games. 4 of them were on Pure Xbox, where they're saying 4 out of the first 6. Clear Obscura Expedition 33. They were also talking about Hollow Knight, Silksong, Indiana Jones of the Great Circle, and Silent Hill F. Yep, they were. And they were happy about it. This has been a Dawn Forge production 2025. All rights are reserved. We'll see you tomorrow for more gaming news. So until then, go play some games, people.